This is Mickey Ostreicher, General Counsel of the National Press Photographers Association, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 28. So you think you're the next Ansel Adams, huh? In this episode, the National Park Service seeks candidates for Ansel Adams' old job. Does anyone really need a $400 raincoat? Twitter and Dropbox make some changes. Lumu Labs has a new light meter in the works. And listener James in Singapore totally has my number. All that and more in episode 28 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Mickey, for opening the show. You know, Mickey was a photojournalist for four decades and serves as general counsel of the National Press Photographers Association. He does amazing work on the behalf of photographers, and I appreciate him taking the time to open the show. This past week, I was honored to have been a guest on two great podcasts. The first, hosted by the awesome Martin Bailey, has been around for over 10 years now. That is just incredible. You know, I have many years to go until I reach the 10-year mark. That is quite an accomplishment, and Martin is one of the reasons why I got into podcasting in the first place. I'm also honored to call him a great friend now, too. You've got to check out the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It is really, really good, and I was honored to have been asked to have been on his 500th episode. The other show, hosted by David Murphy, is more visual journalism-centric and is called Around the Lens. You know, when possible, I like to bring a gift. So I brought them a special guest for my first appearance, Mickey Ostreicher, the general counsel of the NPPA. You heard him opening the show a little bit ago. We talked quite a bit about Time Incorporated's crazy photographer's contract, and due to technical difficulties in the Google Plus Hangout that we recorded, I kind of sort of took over the show and interviewed Mickey. But hey, it all worked out in the end, and if you guys want to check out those shows, head on over to our show notes, and I've got links over to those. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 28 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you guys so much, and thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. If you think you're the next Ansel Adams, and there's a lot of people out there who think they are, the National Park Service may be in need of your amazing black and white, large format skills, and it could make you up to $100,000 per year. Okay, I know I lost some of you at black and white. I haven't shot black and white in forever myself, and most everyone else at large format, which most of us haven't done. But for those of you still with me, here's your chance to fill the same position that the great Ansel Adams once held, starting way back in 1941. The U.S. Department of the Interior, which runs the National Park Service, has posted this job opportunity on usajobs.gov with the very sexy title of Photographer GS-1060-11/12. Now, if you get the job, please don't tell people that's your title. It sounds even nerdier than it actually is. Just say that you have Ansel Adams' old job. That is way more impressive. The listing states that it pays a minimum of roughly $64,000 on up to just a tad under $100,000. So that's not bad coin at all now, is it? Especially in photography. Available only to U.S. citizens, this sweet job is based out of Washington, D.C., and requires quite a bit of traveling, of course. The job entails shooting large-format documentary photos for the Library of Congress and making presentations about the photo collection. Needless to say, this is one of those dream jobs. It's an extremely rare opportunity to create tomorrow's iconic images, and I can't wait to see who actually lands this thing. If you think you've got the chops to fill those shoes, applications will be accepted until December 15th, 2015. So get on it, people. That's not very long from now. Now, of course, it might just be a good idea to have prior experience with shooting large format. Just saying. There's a cool product out there that I think that every location or studio photographer should have, as it looks like it's really useful and may just be what you need to take your photos to the next level. The product I'm talking about is called Atmosphere Aerosol, and it's like having a tiny fog machine in a can. I just pictured an actual tiny fog machine in a can. I don't know, that was kind of weird. Let's move on. With it, you can add some haze to a room to make your photos a little bit more moody, capture some sun rays coming through the window, and you can even use it outdoors as well. You just shake the can, spray it around, make sure you have backlighting because that's how you see it, of course, and get on with creating your images. The 8-ounce cans are similar in volume to a can of hairspray and smaller than a typical 70 to 200 millimeter f/2.8 lens, so it can fit in your camera bag, and it's a lot less expensive and more portable than an actual fog machine. It's safe, non-toxic, and clear, and in case you're wondering, its ingredients are 45% propane, 45% butane, and 10% mineral oil. The company says, quote, "Hairspray cans, aerosol shaving cream cans, and other pressurized can products such as Pam cooking spray use propane and butane as a propellant. When atmosphere aerosol is sprayed, a small, non-harmful amount of gas propels the spray and quickly dissipates, leaving the mineral oil in the air." End quote. The spray, which lingers in the air for minutes, can actually be sprayed continuously for 5.5 minutes, although you're not likely to use that much, of course. They recommend that you spray it for at least 20 seconds, so that'll give you about 15 uses from a single can. Atmosphere aerosol is available for $11.95 a can, but since it must be shipped via ground due to its contents, that nearly doubled the cost. At least it did for me. I just placed my order. Now, if you want to save on shipping, you're definitely going to want to order multiple cans, of course. This looks like a really cool product, and I can't wait to try it out. If you shoot a lot in the rain and have a spare $400 lying around, a new jacket from COOPH, also known as the Cooperative of Photography, may just be for you. They say it's 100% waterproof and 100% designed with photographers in mind. It has an extended hood that protects not only your face from rain, but also your camera. Well, if your eye is always to the camera, of course. Once you take your face away from the camera, bam, rain. So yeah. It's also not long enough to cover anything more than a body and a short profile lens. You know, hipsters are going to love this, but their cameras are going to get wet, I think. There's no way this is going to completely protect your gear from rain. It's just not happening. This jacket has a special camera zipper that lets you keep your camera tucked away at chest level, but it's easily accessible, and it also has pockets on the inside and outside for carrying around extra cameras, lenses, and accessories while you're out shooting in the rain. Something I try not to do. I don't like my gear getting wet. Not if I can avoid it, you know what I'm saying? If this jacket sounds like something you're interested in, they go for about $430 US, but in my opinion, you're going to need a lot more than a jacket to protect your gear when shooting out in the rain. You know, full rain protection might be a good idea. I don't know if I'd trust a jacket with an extended hood to keep my gear safe, but that's just me. Sprinkles, maybe, but that's about it. Needless to say, this is not a jacket I'll be buying anytime soon. You may recall that back in 2013, Slovenia-based Lumu Labs, how's that, Slovenia making the news, raised over $244,000 on Kickstarter to launch the Lumu, a headphone jack attachment that turns the iPhone into an accurate light meter for photographers, a product that you've been able to get for $150 for quite some time now. Well, now the company is back with another product called Lumu Power, a next-gen attachment that not only meters light, it's also able to measure and calculate flash and color temperature as well. Company co-founder Marco Pirk says, quote, "We've been working on this new light meter for the last 2 years. After many R&D iterations, Lumu Power is now ready to rule the light metering world." End quote. All right, those are big words there. Rule the light metering world. You know, Seikonic might have something to say about that, but I don't know. We haven't tested one of these. We'll see how it all shakes out once people actually have a chance to get their hands on these things. This new device uses the iPhone's lightning port rather than the one for the headphones, and on one side of the device measures ambient light and flash, while the other side features a flat color sensor that measures color temperature, white balance, and illuminance. Now, what's really cool is Lumo's iOS app can figure out which side you're using and will present you with the appropriate screen for that metering mode. You can quickly measure the color temperature in degrees Kelvin, and in white balance mode, it'll show you the measured temperature value and the value of tint compensation you'll need to achieve a perfectly white in your photos. There's also a filters mode in the app that lets you calculate the color difference between multiple light sources, telling you the correct filter you need to make the lights match. If you're doing flash photography, Lumu Power is able to measure flash exposure and flash versus ambient light ratios, and it can also help you adjust the ratio and auto-compensate with shutter speed and vice versa. Lumu Labs was looking to raise $30,000 US via a Kickstarter campaign for this product, and as of this recording, has raised over $171,000 with about a few weeks to go still. A contribution of $199 gets you an initial unit if and when it ships in June 2016. And they're saying that when it hits the market, it's actually going to go for $100 more at $299. Now remember, as with all Kickstarter projects, it is not a store. There's no guarantee that you're actually going to get the product that you back. So keep that in mind. For Android users wanting Lightroom Mobile to be free, you have an early Christmas present this year. Or Hanukkah. Or whatever you celebrate. Adobe has announced that Lightroom Mobile version 1.4 for Android devices is now free to use. In other words, you don't need to have an Adobe Creative Cloud subscription to download and use the photo editing app. So that's nice. A few months ago, in October 2015, Adobe made Lightroom Mobile for iOS free with version 2.0, which it released then. Now, Google recently listed Lightroom Mobile as one of the top Google Play apps of 2015. So if you're an Android user, it may be worth your time to check it out and see if you like it. And if you don't, hey, it's free, right? I'm sure they'll give you your money back. Things are getting really interesting with Android devices, with the OS supporting RAW photos as of release version 5.0, also known as Lollipop. And you may recall that Lightroom for Android was recently updated to support DNG files as well. I tell you, technology has come pretty darn far in recent years. Think about all we can do on a tablet. RAW and DNG file image editing, that is just crazy talk. Or was. Now it's a reality. If you'd like to give Lightroom Mobile for Android 1.4 a shot, head on over to the Google Play Store and give it a whirl. You know, I bet it's probably speedier than the desktop version of Lightroom. Sorry, had to. If you have a photography business or just want to show off your work, and part of that is utilizing Twitter, you're going to appreciate this story. Approximately 4 months after Instagram broke out of the box and allowed users to display rectangular images, Twitter has announced that it will now display uncropped photos in users' timelines. The company says, quote, "While Twitter began as an all-text platform, rich media has become essential to the experience. Some of the best moments on Twitter are when you see the world through someone else's eyes," end quote. You know, there's been pressure on Twitter to stay relevant as Facebook and Instagram dominate social media photo sharing. And Twitter's stock has been struggling of late. The company recently brought back founder Jack Dorsey to take over as CEO, and we're starting to see some changes. So now you can post photos which will be seen without having to click to expand it, because that was really super annoying before. And as photographers, we want to see our photos without having them squished, right? I think that if you have a photography business, Twitter is a great way to get the word out about your business and to show off your photography. And now that it's not cropped, everyone can see your photos without having to click. Hey, people are lazy these days. Clicking's a lot of work, apparently. If you're looking for a really cool gift for one of your photography buddies, or maybe yourself, you may want to check out these really detailed USB drives, which look like actual cameras. These extremely detailed replicas are likely to sit on your desk rather than actually be plugged in and used, because they're so darn cool looking. But they're not extremely easy to come by. To find them, hit the show notes for the link, or keep your eye on the Internet-Time eBay store. You can also do an eBay search for camera replica USB if you want to find these. Pricing varies, but you know what? These things are extremely detailed. It blows my mind. They look like the actual cameras. These cameras are available in Canon, Sony, and other models, and seem to be about $30 to $50 or so, depending on when you find them. So check them out. If you enjoyed Dropbox's Carousel Photo app, you have a little over 3 months left as I record this to use the app, as the company is shutting it down by March 31st, 2016. The photo app for archiving and sharing personal memories via Dropbox account lasted less than 2 years, and like its brother, the Mailbox app, it just never caught on. The company says it's choosing to focus more on solutions for, quote, collaboration and simplifying the way people work together, end quote. Now, while the Carousel app is going away, all your photos will be safely stored in your Dropbox account, of course, and the company is going to implement key features of Carousel in the official Dropbox app. So there's that. Today's listener question comes from James Wildbore in Singapore, who recorded his question via our voicemail widget.
Hi, Sharky James. This is James Wildbore, frequent listener, a Brit living in Singapore. I love your show, but I have one question for you. If you had just one wish granted for Christmas, what would you choose out of the following four? A complete rewrite of Lightroom that makes it lightning quick. Number two, Canon and Nikon to release fantastic mirrorless systems and a three-way competition that elevates performance with Sony to new levels. 3. An agreement reached between all the creative industries that photography is a profession and that photographers deserve to be paid for their work. 4. To never again see a cliched picture of a sofa in a field or a photo on train tracks. Love your show. I hope you enjoy the question.
James, you definitely got my number, don't you? You hit all the high points, and there are a lot of people that are just laughing their butts off right now. Now, I know it's a lighthearted question, of course, but I'm still going to answer it because, hey, you weren't shy and you actually asked me one. So many people are shy. Come on, people. Okay, you know how much I hate sofa and train track photos. They are so played out, so redundant, and thus my rant in episode 3. Canon and Nikon, I believe, will either have or announce a serious mirrorless system in 2016. You know, it would be a shame if we have to wait until 2017 to actually use one, but it'd be worth the wait if they at least told us that one is coming. But can either company continue to lose sales to Sony? No. No, they cannot. Now, I don't think that either company thought that Sony would do as well with mirrorless as they have. Both of the big camera makers fell asleep at the wheel and somehow ended up on the shoulder. And in this next year, let's hope they make it back onto the road. As for Lightroom, it is pretty darn close to dead to me. I hate to say it, you know, I used to really enjoy that program, and it's great if you're working at a snail's pace, because there really isn't much other choice than to work at a snail's pace in it. And I think that I may switch to Capture One in 2016. I need to get stuff done. I'm a busy guy. I don't have time for that kind of nonsense, you know? So James, my answer to your very entertaining question is, of course, that I'd wish for photographers to be taken more seriously, for people to once again value photography, and for all photographers to make the money that they truly deserve. I love this industry so much. It has been great to me, as you may imagine. I mean, just look at my 2015 and how it is shaped up. I can't complain. But there are so many wonderful things about photography, whether you're doing it for fun or to put food on the table. And I just wish that everyone who wanted to make their living through photography could. But the good news is that while there are challenges, if you work at your craft, you utilize the tools available to you to get the word out, and you never give up, that you can live your dream still. And if you do, please don't photograph anyone in a field or on train tracks. I may just have to change my answer otherwise. All right, also this episode, we have an emailed question from Bill in upstate New York, who wants to know how best to deal with the mountain of old slides and prints that he has in shoeboxes and albums. He wants to get them in digital form as economically as possible and share them with family and friends on Facebook. You know, back in the day, there was nothing worse than going over to someone's house and having to sit through hours and hours of slideshow presentations of someone's vacation, or going through old photo albums. Nothing was worse. These days, we've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc., and we can kind of just flip through that stuff at our own pace. But we're so used to things being in digital form these days, and you can go from your camera straight to Facebook. But if you have a ton of slides and photos from years and years ago, you know, which are fading over time, and if you don't have the negatives for them anymore, and of course, if you lose the original slides, you're out of luck. So you have to get those in digital form or they're gone forever. But your question is how to do it and how to do it economically. And that is the tough part. It's going to depend on how much time you have and how much money. If you have the time, you can, of course, buy a slide scanner. And you can buy a regular scanner, and they're not too expensive these days, but it's going to take you months and months of countless hours on the weekends and the evenings scanning those darn things in. And you have to clean them first, otherwise you're going to have dust spots on them, of course. And it is an exercise in frustration. So if you have the money, hands down the best way to do it, in my opinion, especially if you don't want to spend the time, is to send them off to a service bureau to do it. Now, there are options out there like Scan Cafe and others where they'll send you a box and you put all your slides, all your photos in there, everything that can fit, and you send it off to them and they scan it fairly cheaply. However, what happens if that box is lost? All your memories are gone. So rather than spending the time to do this yourself, you're paying someone else to do it and risking the possibility that all your memories could be gone if they get lost in the mail or FedEx or UPS or whatever service is used to send it to them. Now, I think the chances are fairly low of it getting lost in the mail. However, it is a possibility. And once those are gone, those are gone. If you do not want to take the risk of that happening, then your only other option is to use a service that's maybe local to you. And there's a number of people out there that are doing this. If you look online, you will find people in your area, hopefully, especially if you live in a larger area, who will scan your photographs. I mean, hey, there's people that'll take your old VHS tapes and convert them to digital. So finding someone to scan your slides and photos really is not that hard to do. I think you're probably pretty safe having someone locally do it for you versus sending it off. If you have the time and you want to painstakingly scan every slide and every photograph, you know, it might be a great trip down memory lane for you, but that is going to take so, so long to do. Personally, I would send them away or find someone locally to get it done for you. Now, this is going to depend on how much time you have, of course, and how many photos. If you have hundreds of photos, it may not be worth your time to do this. You might want to spend more time with your family than in your home office scanning photos all day. And you're going to find, like many people do, that the first, I don't know, 20 or so, not a problem. But after that, you wish you had never done it. But if you're a very patient person and you've got the time, and let's say you decide you want to do this over the course of 6 months or so, you can save yourself quite a bit of money. You know, what you might want to do, Bill, is hit eBay and look for a scanner that does slides and, you know, photos as well. And there might be two separate devices. Buy them, spend 6 months or so, or whatever it takes to get those all scanned in, and then put them back up on eBay. Why have a slide scanner sitting around if you don't need it ever again? So you might be able to do this very economically, and all it'll cost you is your time and maybe your sanity. Personally, I would find someone locally or send them away. And this is going to depend on your budget, of course. You know, what's your time worth? Would you rather be out there doing photography and spending time with your family or scanning photos for months upon months? Another option, of course, is just to go through your photos and your slides, pick just the best ones and do those, and then archive the rest. There's nothing that says you can't have the best ones scanned, and then when you need to, you can always reference those other ones that you have in your shoebox. I mean, how many photos of Aunt Becky do you really need? Seriously, I think one or two would cover it. And then if you need to see any more, you want to show the kids Aunt Becky, send them on over to the shoebox, right? If the goal is to get these photos on Facebook, are you going to put up hundreds of photos? Maybe not. Who's going to look at hundreds of photos? So maybe narrow it down to the best of the best and then keep the rest in the shoebox. Thank you so much for your question, Bill. I greatly appreciate it. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 28 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show, or you can give us a call at area code 206-333-9308. We'd love to answer your questions here on the show, but everyone's so darn shy. And if you are, you can email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's L-E-N-S-S-H-A-R-K. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 29. Well, it's F8 2/50 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.